matchibellen over de middenvijver. Maar we hebben al in de studio Jan Birleen en dan eventjes de andere mensen hier. Het is Iffy en Femi, is dat juist? En dat gaat dan over homorechten in Afrika, is dat goed samengevat? Oké, maar eerst nog een stukje muziek en dan moeten we ook nog de microfoon.
I am not a number, I am a free man.
Baobab gebruik maken om even de microfoons te testen. Want we hebben hier mensen in de studio, dus die moeten goed te begrijpen zijn. Goed. Microfoon nummer 4, dat was deze daar, hè?
Dat is 2-3-4.
2. Kun je zeggen?
Hallo?
Ja, very good.
Ja.
Hallo.
Die werkt niet. Die werkt niet.
En deze wel?
Die werkt wel.
Ja, dan ga ik die aan Jan doorschuiven.
Ja, okay. Deze werkt.
Deze werkt, ja.
Oké, dan gaan we die delen.
Goed, en dus we hebben hier een paar mensen van Nigeria zitten, dus de muziek is van Senegal. Maar we zullen ermee beginnen, hè?
Ja, dat is straks al gezegd wie dat er in de studio is. Ik ga dat even niet herhalen, maar Jan Birleen, die gaat het interviewtje doen met twee gasten hier. Uiteraard over de situatie in Afrika. Wij hebben hier de neiging om te denken dat er geen problemen meer zijn, alhoewel dat iedereen natuurlijk wel op de hoogte is van de problemen in Rusland bijvoorbeeld op het ogenblik. We gaan het nu specifiek hebben over Afrika.
We zullen het eerst hebben over Afrika in het algemeen. En op het einde van het interview ook nog een aantal landen specifiek overlopen. Het is zo dat Afrika op dit moment een opflakkering van homofobie kent, zoals we ze nooit eerder hebben gekend. Onder andere door het feit dat Oeganda en Nigeria beiden een zeer draconische anti-homo-wet hebben goedgekeurd. En het blijkt ook dat deze anti-homo-mentaliteitssfeer waan van het moment overslaat naar andere landen. En daarom achten wij het nodig om vandaag ook enkele mensen die in dit klimaat geleefd hebben, die deze landen goed kennen, in de studio uit te nodigen. We zijn hier vandaag met Iffy Braun, erkend hier in België, en Femi, een vriend van hem die nog niet erkend is en die dan ook voor vandaag een alias gebruikt, Femi. Welkom allebei. We zullen het interview in het Engels doen, dan zijn zij ook vrijer om zich te uiten en om
te spreken, maar ik verzeker jullie dat Effie zeer gemotiveerd bezig is om Nederlands te leren. Niet waar?
Ja, ja, dat is waar.
Misschien, Femi, je bent het laatst aangekomen in België. Je kent ook het best het recente klimaat. How would you describe the climate in Nigeria this summer at the moment that you left the country? And how would you describe the impact of the voting of the new law on the population and on the climate for gay and lesbians living in cities in and around Nigeria?
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me start from the second question. Yeah, first of all, already in a country like Nigeria, with over 170 million citizens, there's already been a law that criminalizes homosexuality in that country, which is under the sodomy law that was adopted in the Federal Constitution 1999. And this law actually prohibits the same-sex sexual activities between LGBT people, that says if you're caught in the act of homosexuality, you are prone to 14 years imprisonment. And in under the 12th state, under the Sharia law, you automatically be stoned to death. But now, in this new legislation that has just recently been passed on January 7th by the President of Nigeria, President Goodluck Jonathan, it says that if you are homosexual, not even caught in the act, now you go to 14 years automatically. And secondly, it's just like you are furthering criminalizing what has already been criminalized in a country like Nigeria. Another thing is that it's also stated in the new legislation that foreigners who are same-sex coupled, who are married in the Western country, that comes into the country of Nigeria, their certificate becomes void, which means it's not only targeting the citizen of that country. It goes far beyond targeting other foreigners or expatriates who are coming to the country, that they are partners, or that means they can't even share responsibilities as partners, which means they can't even be allowed to lodge in the same hotel and share what they enjoy in their own country. Countries. And now, offenses and penalties for anybody, because for the title is very misleading, and to same-sex marriage is not something we are actually talking about here in Nigeria. And now they are now saying if you're homosexual, you go to 14 years. If you abet or you aid organization, society, you go to 10 years imprisonment. And lastly, talking about the climate in Nigeria, a lot of people are running helter-skelter because it's actually prone the community members to more dangers, because we've already been victimized, discriminated upon, and now I really feel pity for most of the community members who are living positive with HIV. I wonder where their faith lies at the moment, because now AIDS that support people who are living with HIV has been cut short by the federal government of Nigeria. And presently, the climate is very unfriendly for LGBT people in a country like Nigeria.
Okay, thank you very much for that explanation. Personally, you have lived in Nigeria till July this year. Could you tell something about your personal experiences with homophobia and how the climate was at that time, and how you think it is now for the people living in your country?
Thank you very much. I could remember vividly on the 2nd of May 2011, that was when I fell victim of the Nigerian police under the idea of stop and search. And I was victimized. I was detained. I was robbed. They took everything that I had on me just because I was perceived to be homosexual because of some IEC materials that were found on me. And this actually led to a very, it was very traumatizing for someone like me to have survived in a very homophobic country like Nigeria. Nigeria is a very volatile country and also a secular state, but a lot of things is not really working well in Nigeria presently. Talking about the new law, the government, the society, they're very intolerant to the issue of homosexuality. So, pending the time I was in Nigeria, it's not been easy for an LGBT person to survive in a country like Nigeria. And on a daily basis, we face a lot of discrimination, a lot of gay bashing. You know, you can actually express your kind of person even when you want to look for job, other job employment. It's very difficult to even express yourself. Most times you have to hide under the idea of umbrella of masculinity, and which I know a lot of LGBT people tend to be very feminine, and they can't hide their femininity, and it becomes very difficult for them to search for a job because nobody will give them employment. So it's really, really very difficult for LGBT people, even now that the legislation has been signed into law.
Both of you have taken responsibility in the past to organize the movement, to organize the gay community, and to prevent HIV within the community. Efe, you are here with us also. You have taken responsibility in the past for a lot of actions. How do you think the movement is left behind these days, now that Jonathan has very swiftly signed the new law? And how people will react to it?
Thank you very much. I think with this bill, with the law in place, majority of human rights advocates who are advocating for LGBTI rights, their life also is in danger, because majority of activists are fleeing from their various country to live in a country where people can live freely. And I think this is such a big problem for activists. I was also a victim. I left Nigeria 2011 because of my security, where I was being wanted by the police. My life, I was in danger. And as at then, my family knows I am gay, but this is something we don't talk about. But when the police started to look for me as an activist that is advocating for the right of gay people, my life became danger. And this also put my family into risk, because my family do not want the name of the family to be in jeopardy, in the sense that as a gay person well known in the community, it's a shame. They believe it's a shame on the family. And also in this bill in place, I feel Africa, on Nigeria as a country where I come from, I think they really don't know what homosexuality is all about. Because if you look at the definition of homosexuality from the African perspective, majority of the Africans will say that homosexuality is on Africa. Homosexuality is a Western stuff. I mean, for like we that were born in Africa, how do we explain that being gay is a Western cultivation? I never lived abroad. I lived my 26 years in Africa. So I only opportunity to travel when I started LGBT activism. So how do I explain that my reason of being gay is by the Western influence? And like my colleague said, Femi, I think also this is also a very big problem for gay people who are HIV positive, because organizations now who are advocating for the right of these people are also afraid to be able to do something. And majority of gay people who are positive would die in silence, because it is not everybody that would want to go to an hospital to get an ARV, because not even doctors, not all doctors are being trained to be able to administer ARV to gay people. The moment they know you are gay, that is also a stigma to yourself, not to talk of you being gay and also being HIV positive. It is a double stigma for gay people. So this bill in place, it's a lot of problem.
Okay, thank you. I see that a lot of activists are looking to leave the country to find safe harbors in neighboring countries or to hide themselves for a while. Do we have to fear a flood of refugees coming to Europe because of their sexual orientation, or how would you see the situation?
It's a very funny question, but that's the reality of life. Yes, we would have a lot of gay people fleeing from that various country, not only Nigeria, from Uganda, from Ghana, from Senegal. I mean, countries in Africa where gay are being criminalized. A lot of gay people would want to leave. I, for example, I left in 2011. I left because I want to be in a safe hand. I left because I am gay. I want to enjoy my free human right as is stated. But if you live in Africa where rights are being given to some certain group of people, there will be a lot of problem for gay people. And Belgium as a country should be expecting a lot of gay refugees from Nigeria and other part of Africa. Yeah.
Okay. And besides protecting those refugees here in Belgium, what could we do as a gay community or as a human community that has accepted gay people here for the community in Nigeria or in Africa?
Well, I don't get the question.
In terms of solidarity with people in the Global South or in Nigeria, what could Belgium do? What could the movement do to support the case?
Yeah, based on that, I will point out this. Like in Nigeria, a lot of people are being victimized. I was once a victim. And in a situation like that, you don't expect someone who is openly gay to survive in a country like Nigeria. So in terms of solidarity, I would actually talk to the international bodies because they are the only one who can put pressure on a country like Nigeria, Uganda, now is extending to Zambia, is not going to Ivory Coast, and which I know would, within a time of frame is going to extend to some other African countries. And in a situation like this, they need to let people understand that it is not about the Western invention that actually brought homosexuality to Africa. Homosexuality has been in Africa for ages. Even before I was born, I've heard about people who are feminine, who doesn't have anything to do with their opposite sex, and which actually boils down to the fact that homosexual exists in every species in the world. So in a situation like this, the international bodies like the European Union and some other bodies should actually look critically into the bill and the effect, the implication on the life of many Africans, not only Nigeria at this moment, because if nothing is done in solidarity to this bill, I'm sure a lot of Western countries who are under the Geneva Convention should be expecting more refugees before the end of 2014.
Just to add to what he said, I think also it's a bill already. It's a law already. I mean, it's moved from a bill to be a law.
So, could you tell us something about the motivation of your president, Jonathan, to sign it that quickly? Because, example, Uganda, the president himself refused to sign it, and in Nigeria it passed very swiftly. Do you see any motive behind it, or what is the difference?
I think, from my own perspective, I think the motive behind it is just he was under pressure to sign the bill because they believe Nigeria is a religious country. And considering the fact that 2015 election is in the corner, is in place. So this is just a way for him to go to the second time or to the third time. And if Good Luck Jonathan don't do this, his chances of becoming a president in 2015 is in jeopardy. So for him not to be in a jeopardy, he was pressurized to be able to sign this law. And also, I feel what the Belgium or what, like he said, the European Union would do is, I think we can also do like a petition, like 10,000 petition for the night. I mean, people start signing this petition against this law, and also trying to restrict the movement of the Nigerian government into a foreign, a Western country, like since they believe homosexuality is Western. For example, whatever ties that the government of Belgium and Nigeria has, such kind of ties should stop for a particular time. There should be like an ultimatum to say, if you want us to continue this deal, you have to do this in place. I think if we do that, that's going to work. Because if we don't do this, our president, our government would travel abroad. They would do a lot of stuff. They will embezzle our money. They will embezzle our money. And yet, gay people will still be criminalized on the basis of their sexual orientation and gender identity.
Do you think there's a role for Nigerians who are living abroad? There are a lot of Nigerians that has left, straight and LGBT, and that has studied abroad and didn't go back to their country, all over America, Canada, UK, Europe. Do you think that community can play a role in advancing the country or the case?
The community living abroad would, it's going to help in a solid way, but we shouldn't forget the fact that Nigeria will still have this belief that these people live here, these people studied here, perhaps they are also being infected by the Western influence. I think we can do something here. It doesn't mean we will not do anything. We will do something. But I think the major work in place lies back in Africa. We would do all these things. We would try international solidarity. We would do a lot of petitions. We would petition the government and all that. But if people back home don't, if people back home still see that homosexuality is a Western influence, I think whatever we are doing abroad would still not go a long way. It will go. It will go somewhere, but not in a very effective way, because Africa has it.
Thank you. I see that Femi is very keen to add something. Go your way.
Yeah, in addition to what my colleague has just said, first of all, I have to look at it from this perspective. One, it's another, it's all about the government and the society. It's another thing that's coming from the government. It's another thing that the society to say yes. You know, for someone who has lived in abroad in diaspora for how many years and still couldn't fathom the fact that homosexual exists, would such a person be willing to voice out his opinion or her opinion on the issue of homosexuality? Even I still found it difficult that majority of Africans living in diaspora still see homosexuality as being on Africa, despite the fact that they live among this community. They've seen it all, that these people, it's natural, it wasn't nurtured. People were born to be gay. So in a situation like this, it has to be a personal interest from the people who are living in diaspora, who has lived their life here, to voice out their opinion and let people back home understand that it's not a Western invention. No Western country is inventing or cultivating the act of homosexuality into Nigeria. As developed as the United Kingdom and United States of America, it was just of recent they started talking about same-sex marriage. So why would Nigeria at the age of 50 be talking about same-sex marriage now when we have a lot of things pending, a lot of bill pending on the table? So a lot, we have to look critically into this bill, and everyone has to voice out their opinion and let Nigerians understand the fact that there is nothing like Western invention. It is just that homosexuals exist and we're here to stay, and there is no doubt about it that we exist and we will continue to exist.
We are three men in the studio and we have been talking in terms of gay, but homosexuality is also lesbian and gender identity and transsexual issues. Could one of both of you add a little word for our lesbian sisters, so that people don't have the impression that we only care about the male gays? Please.
I mean, I think when we talk about gays, we are talking about gender identity. We are talking about sexual orientation and gender identity. So we are not based on this interview, we are not talking about just male gay. We are talking about lesbians, transgender, intersex as well.
And what makes the situation more specific for lesbians or different?
Yeah, on this aspect, I would say it's not from what I read, but from my own feasibility studies, I found that Nigerians are very little tolerant towards lesbians, but not really fully in acceptance of lesbianism. And so the point is that I know that in Nigeria, in a country like Nigeria, people who are effeminate gay are very, very vulnerable under this law. You know, Nigerians can still accommodate the fact that, oh, she's a lesbian, she's a tomboy, I can still accommodate, but does not still really boil down to the fact that they are really friendly with anything that has to do with homosexuality. So it all encapsulates around the fact that both the lesbian, the gay, the bisexual, the transgender, the intersex, everybody are involved in this activism. It's not only the voice of the gay people, it's only comes rally around the fact that both lesbians, everybody are involved in this case, because anything that will affect the gay will actually comes down to the fact that it's going to affect the lesbians. So,
okay, thank you very much. In Uganda, we have had an arrestation of a Belgian last week, Sunday night. Police come to knock on his door. They just push him into the car and he got jailed or arrested for 2 days without any mandate to be arrested. It got a lot of media attention, much more than Nigeria, much more than the situation in Cameroon, much more than the situation in different countries. Would you have hoped that this Belgian was arrested in Lagos or Abuja? Or how do you see the situation? How can we draw media attention to West Africa?
I think in terms of when you talk about Africa, I really don't know the perspective of the Belgians. I mean, now when it comes to Africa, I know that Belgium was once a colony to Congolese, Rwanda, also if I'm not mistaken. But you only when you watch the TV, when you watch the news, you only see reports coming from these two countries, and you won't find much reports coming from West Africa. I'm not only talking about Nigeria. I'm talking about other African country that is in under the West Africa. When Nigeria passed this bill on the 7th of January, I hardly got the news. I didn't see it in the Belgium's daily. I didn't hear it on the news that Nigeria has passed a law to criminalize homosexuality. It was really silent, and for me, I was really not happy about it, because it felt like now Belgium or the media reporting don't really welcome us, people coming from West Africa. You only see things coming from Rwanda, Congo, and so whatever. I was really shocked. But few days ago, when the Belgium, a guy was arrested in Rwanda, in Uganda, it was all over the media. Everybody was publishing. People were reading on the train. I mean, the news were over and over and over and over and over again. Could this be because he is a Belgium? And I really don't know. I'm still asking for this question, because I was not happy. I didn't read it. I was sad to the news, I'm sorry to say. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. I think, of course, it is because he's a Belgian. It's selective indignity. When a Belgian gets arrested abroad, it is much worse than if 9,000 and 10,000 and thousands of Nigerians and Ugandans suffer daily.
If you only do reporting coming from... I mean, if you are doing reporting because it affects your citizen, how would you want to educate the fellow Belgians who hardly travel out of Belgium? How will you educate people that homosexuality is also illegal in other parts of the country? How would you explain to people that they are black somewhere? Because I still feel some Belgians also still cannot tolerate when you're immigrant. They are also afraid. And people are afraid of what they don't know. I think media also should be able to, when it comes to reporting, they shouldn't have this mindset of this stereotypic stuff of reporting in a particular situation and leaving the others. Try to report. Do your reporting. Generalize your reporting and don't limit your scope to a reporting that affects your citizen. It does affect us also.
Thank you very much. I would say thank you to Radio Central to invite those two people in the studio. And I find it very courageous of both of you to come and share your story.
Je kunt nog 5 minuten doorgaan, zou ik zeggen.
Come and share your story. Wij hebben nog nieuws over de situatie in andere landen en misschien dat ze op het einde nog even willen reageren. Om een klein overzichtje te geven, zoals Eender had vermeld, vorige week is Steven in Oeganda opgepakt, vastgezet tot dinsdagmiddag en nu onder borg vrij. Wij wachten af wat het verder zal geven. De Belgische diplomatie ter plekke is bezig met zijn rechten te verdedigen en deze van zijn vriend. Hij was met een Keniaan samen in Oeganda. In Cameroen is dit jaar een BD Roger overleden. Het is de jongeman die al maanden vastzat om een sms te sturen I love you naar een vriend, daarvoor ook veroordeeld is geworden als homo, zonder enig bewijs of zonder enige betrapping op geterdaad zoals de wet het voorschrijft. In Zambia, in Lusaka, zitten James en Philippe, een homokoppel, al vast sedert mei vorig jaar, krijgen geen enkele media-aandacht, er loopt quasi geen enkele petitie of geen briefschrijfacties rond hun zaak. Maar zij wachten een definitieve uitspraak en riskeren 30 jaar celstraf eind februari. In Ivoorkust heeft Alternatief Cameroen, de organisatie die de community probeert te beschermen tegen HIV, AIDS, de deuren moeten sluiten nadat hun muren beklad waren, de vensters ingegooid. En de wachter die het kantoor normaal bewaakt, die ligt in kritieke toestand in het hospitaal in Abidjan. Er is ook iets of wat positief nieuws. Als we kijken naar Nigeria, heeft Nobelprijswinnaar voor de literatuur, Wole Soyinka, een zeer krachtig open brief of editorial geschreven tegen de nieuwe wetgeving. In Zuid-Afrika heeft de Nationale Adviesraad voor de Balies van Zuid-Afrika opgeroepen aan alle Afrikaanse regeringen om anti-homo-wetgeving te weigeren of niet goed te keuren. En aan de balies over Hans Afrika om de mensenrechten te respecteren en geen rekening te houden met anti-homo-wetgevingen. En in Kenia, om terug te keren op het schrijven over Afrika, heeft een zeer gelauwerd auteur, Binyavanga Wariana, die reeds verschillende prijzen gewonnen heeft over het Afrikaanse continent, zijn outing gedaan op een zeer Afrikaanse manier in 6 opeenvolgende YouTube-clips van 10 minuten, waarin hij zijn hele leven vertelt en hoe hij ertoe komt om uiteindelijk op zijn 48ste toch publiekelijk, ik denk 48 of ouder, zijn outing te doen. En het is ook de man die in 2004 een prachtig artikel geschreven heeft, Writing About Africa, en die zegt van zolang wij als Westerlingen de Afrikaanse man als leeg, de Afrikaanse vrouw als zorgend voor haar kinderen en de Afrikaanse leeuw als intelligent gaan omschrijven, gaan we blijven onze eigen problemen en de maatschappijproblemen in Afrika voeden, omdat we de Afrikaanse maatschappij op een fabelachtige manier voorschrijven zoals het in ons eigen kraam past. Het is een must om het te lezen, zeker nu dat hij zijn outing gedaan heeft, trekt het nog meer de aandacht. In Belize, Centraal-Amerika, heb ik vorige week nog gechat met iemand. Caleb Orozco is een van de human rights activisten daar ter plekke. En in de dancehall Ragge discotheken hadden ze een Hansweekend. 3 dagen nadat een lesbische vriendin vermoord was, opgeroepen tijdens de muzieksessies en tijdens de jam, Caleb has to die also. En die man heeft al verschillende visa aangevraagd voor Europa en Amerika, wordt het systematisch geweigerd, omdat ze weten van als we hem een visum geven, zal hij hier blijven. Daarnaast, Rusland is een ander voorbeeld. Ik denk dat op dit moment de meeste media-aandacht naar Rusland gaat, de start van de Olympische Winterspelen. Wie blijft daar hoofdzakelijk buiten schot? Dat zijn de sponsors van de Winterspelen. De laatste oproepen gaan in de richting van laten we ook de sponsors op hun verantwoordelijkheid wezen, McDonald's en Coca-Cola. Er circuleert een oproep om op 5 februari voor de McDonald's restaurants te manifesteren wereldwijd. Ik hoop dat dat voor een stuk ook een succes wordt. En anderzijds is het ook daar een prachtig voorbeeld van selectieve verontwaardiging. Kinderrechten in Rusland zijn een lachertje. Kinderen worden er niet gerespecteerd. Er zijn enorm veel inbreuken. Maar toch staat Poetin te zwaaien met de slogan dat hij zijn kinderen moet beschermen tegen de homo's die ze negatief zouden kunnen beïnvloeden. Ik hoop dat zijn drang om kinderen te beschermen zich na de Spelen ook echt tegen hem keert en dat de homo- en de LGBT-beweging ook de moeite doet om de Russische kinderrechtenbeweging te ondersteunen en om solidair te blijven na de Games. Dat is heel in het kort, denk ik, de tour van de wereld. Als er heel belangrijk nieuws is, dan komen we in een volgende uitzending volgende maand nog eens terug. Bedankt, Effe en Femi, om hier te zijn.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Radio Central, for having us.
Ik heb nog één vraagje naar de lijst die je afgelopen bent. Een organisatie zoals Amnesty International, die zijn traditioneel bezig met politieke gevangenen, maar wat doen ze iets in verband met deze zaak?
Er is binnen Amnesty International Londen, Amnesty International bij de EU in Brussel, wel degelijk aandacht voor de LGBT-rechten. Al jaren aan een stuk. Wat Vlaanderen betreft is dit veel rustiger. Alhoewel dat Amnesty International Vlaanderen in het najaar een inhaalbeweging gedaan heeft door de Schrijfse Vastdag. Een dag waarin alle scholen werden opgeroepen om homohaters vast te schrijven, dus met andere woorden brieven te schrijven, naar regimes die homorechten en LGBT-rechten niet respecteren. Ik hoop dat het verder in de goede richting evolueert, want er is enorm veel werk en solidariteit met mensenrechtenbewegingen die toezien op internationale verdragen is enorm belangrijk voor de landen in het zuiden.